Also welcome the Deputy Minister for Justice. I think I saw him on the platform. I understand he is, oh yeah, okay.
Recording
welcome,
in progress.
DM, and let me also welcome the legal teams from Parliament, the department, as well as the Office of the State Law Advisor. Just in terms of attendance, our members, we didn't receive any apologies for this meeting, but on the platform we have Honorable Maleka, Honorable Bartlett, Honorable Dodobo, Honorable Mtetwa, Honorable Mikolakis, Honorable Ndongeni, Honorable Badenhorst, Honorable Smith, Honorable Dlamini, my apologies, I think I skipped you as well. Yeah, and Honorable, we are sufficient members for this meeting, and we do form the necessary quorum. Members will, in terms of the notice we sent out, members, we intend to be dealing with the Land Court Bill, specifically also receiving a briefing on the proposed list of the amendments. And thereafter, in terms of our engagements with regard to the budgets and APPs for the Department of Police, IPED, as well as the CSPS, we intend looking at the reports for adoption by the committee. That being said, honourable members, we'll then get into the first agenda item with regard to the Land Court Bill. Perhaps members will recall in our previous meeting on the 3rd of May, we received a briefing on the proposed amendments of the Land Court Bill by the department. And at this meeting, we also asked the department to formally table the proposed amendments to the committee in our next meeting. So in today's proceedings, we'll get the department to present the proposed amendments to the committee, and members will recall that these amendments include both substantive as well as technical or consequential amendments to the bill. And we'll ask the department then to table each proposed amendment, and the committee can deliberate and will reach consensus on a close-by-close basis in today's meeting. But before we do that, I think I'd just like to ask the Parliamentary Legal Advisor and the State Law Advisor if they are in agreement with the amendments proposed by the department as presented in our previous engagement. Members would have also received the C list of amendments. Let me ask Dr. Lewis, firstly from Parliamentary Legal Services. Barbara, are you on the platform? I did see you on this platform. Ms. Lewis, I see you.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, Chair. Good morning, Honourable Members. Chairperson, I took a look at the documents that the department shared. As far as I can see, it looks to be aligning with the presentation that was given to the committee. So, and technically, it also seems to be sound, especially as also noting that this is these are proposals that will be given to the Portfolio Committee. So this is more in the form, or this will result more in a form of a report than necessarily a set C list. But for that purpose, it looks to align with their previous presentation. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Ms. Lewis. And from the Office of the State Law Advisor, I'm not sure who is on the platform. If you could guide us and...
Good morning, Honourable Members.
Morning.
I'm Richard Johar from the Office of the Chief State Law Advisor, and I'm joined by my colleague, Ms. Lisa Naidu.
Ma'am, we can't hear you very clearly. I don't know if it's just me.
Good morning, Chair. No, it's not just you. Aisha, you are muffled. I don't know if there's something covering the speaker.
Good morning, Chairperson and Honourable Members. I'm Aisha Johar from the Office of the Chief State Advisor, joined by my colleague, Ms. Lisa Naidu. We have had an opportunity to consider the amendments proposed by the department, and we have no objection to what is being proposed, Chairperson. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much for that. Our members, I'll then request the department to present the clauses that are proposed for amendment to committee members. And we'll go clause by clause. In my discussion with the department, because there are quite a few technical or consequential amendments to the bill, I think we've isolated those ones. And then the other clauses that deal with the substantive ones are also will also be reflected. Let me hand over then to is it Mr. Dupre, who will be taking us through?
Correct, Madam Chair.
Okay, so you'll just present the clause. I'm sure if members will allow, with the clauses that deal with technical and of consequential amendments, if those could be clumped together on the members, you tell me if you're happy with that or not, but if you're not, we can break down the clauses if you wish. Mr. Dupre, if you could perhaps start with the substantive amendments first, and then we go to the technical or consequential ones.
We'll do so, Madam Chair. Please apologize my bad manners. Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee and the Deputy Minister. Madam Chair, maybe just some guidance. Would you like us to go directly to the C list, or should I rather put up that short, very short summary that we've submitted to the committee? We could possibly call that the index document.
Okay, the short summary was more for the purposes of yourself to try and take the members through. Let me clarify that members, you've received the what we call the C list, which I think Ms. Lewis has corrected. It's more like a report rather than a C list, because it goes back into Section 75, which will go back to the National Assembly. But just for the purposes to make this process simpler and to expedite it. Mr. Dupre, you can put up the summary document. Members have C list. Obviously, the summary document has to be read together with the C list that we sent out to members. Mr. Dupre, you can begin. Perhaps let's just go to the substantive amendments before we go to the technical or consequential clauses.
Thank you, Madam Chair. With regard to the substantive amendments, my apologies. First, you will see that I highlighted the word select. There was a typo in the document that we submitted to you. I apologize for that. With regard to the substantive amendments to the B version of the bill, clause 4, dealing with any person who has was not a judge of the High Court of South Africa, or any court at the time of appointment to the Land Court does not automatically hold concurrent appointment to the High Court and the court itself. So that is a substantive amendment. The next one is clause...
Mr. Dupre, before you continue to the next one, you not clause 4, because I think I heard clause 4, but I understand it's clause 8. I just want to correct that. But before we go to clause 12, I'm going to put it to members whether they have any objections to that clause. If they can give me an indication or not. Okay, I don't see any objections. If there are no objections, we will continue, right? Can we then move to clause 12?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Clause 12 is also identified as a substantive amendment dealing with the appointment of assessors and their qualifications and then their remuneration. I put clause 12 to you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. Let me put clause 12 to honourable members. If there are any objections to the clause? Okay, if none, then we'll go on to clause 14, Mr. Dupre.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Clause 14 deals with the rules to be made by the Rules Board for Court of Law, and then the application of those rules relating to the conduct of proceedings of the several provincial and local divisions of the High Court and the, to the Land Court. That is what we technically refer to as a savings provision. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. On members, I put clause 14 to yourself. If there are any objections to the clause or to the amendment, if none, we'll move then to clause 25.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Clause 25, then the amendments there dealing with conferences and the orders that the Land Court may make in connection with such conferences.
Thank you very much, Mr. Dupriya. Clause 25, I put clause 25 to you, Honourable Members. Are there any objections to the amendment?
None, sir.
If there are no objections, we'll then move to the next clause, which Mr. Dupriya, clause 27.
Sorry, Chair, I was muted. It's the circumstances under which the Land Court may vary or rescind any judgment or order made by it. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. On Members' Clause 27, are there any objections to the amendment? If none, we'll then move on to Clause 33. Mr. Dupre.
Thank you, Madam Chair. That is a proposal by the Land Claims Court, and it provides for the removal of actions or proceedings from the Land Court sitting in one area to that same court sitting in another area within the same province, and then from the Land Court to a division of the High Court or vice versa. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Dupriya. Remember, I put the clause to you, are there any objections? That's clause 33. Amendment.
None, sir.
If none, let's then move on to the next clause. Mr. Dupriya, clause
34. Yes. Clause 34, Madam Chair, relates to transitional provisions dealing with the existing or the current offices of the Land Claims Court, and then the continuation of the rules of the Land Claims Court until they are replaced by rules that have been made by the Rules Board for Courts of Law.
Thank you, Mr. Dupriya. On members, I put clause 34. Are there any objections to the amendment? If none, on members, we'll then move to item 9 of schedule to the ball. Mr. Dupriya?
Chair, yes, it is proposed that the proposed amendments to the Prevention of Illegal Eviction from an Unlawful Occupation of Land Act 98 should rather be deleted and could always then at a future date be included under the jurisdiction of the Land Court. Thank you very much, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Dupriya. Honourable members, in terms of item 9 of schedule of the schedule to the ball, are there any objections to that amendment? Okay, if none, we'll then go to the other clauses that deal with the non-substantive, more the consequential and or technical amendments, Mr. Dupriya.
Chair, the technical or consequential amendments identified by us is then the first one is clause 7 of the bill.
Okay, I remember, if it's okay with you with regard to these technical or consequential amendments, if we can clump them together just to see whether members are happy with it or not. I think Mr. Dupriya, if you can just take us through the whole thing, and after that we'll deal with it as a lot.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, then it's part 2. It's merely just correcting the heading to that part, clause 17. Then also part 3, correcting the heading, to the part itself, then clauses 24, 26, 32, and then 35 to 37. You will note, Madam Chair, under Roman 9, we have referred to the schedule, but we say except item 9, which the committee just considered now. The other amendments, proposed amendments in the schedule are mainly of an extremely technical nature to the extent that we refer reference to the Land Court Act as a 22 Act instead of a 23 Act, and those proposed amendments are then included in the draft report of the committee to ensure that correct reference is made to the year of the Land Court Act, which is then will be a 2023 Act. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Dupuy. Members, let me then put to you the technical or consequential amendments to Clause 7, Clause 17, Clause 24, Clause 26, Clause 32, Clause 35 to 37, as well as to Part 2, Part 3, and the long life issue with regard to schedule item 9. If I can put that to honourable members, is there any objections to that? Okay, honourable Keta, are you objecting? Sorry, your hand is up. Let me not see why your hand is up. Okay, all right.
I'm not objecting, Chair, okay. but it was going to be much easier for us if he reminds us, because we've got in the similar gadget that we are using, like to tell us that Clause 7, we were amending this, Clause 17, Clause 4, 24, 26, you know, just to highlight those so that we recap easily rather than to keep on referring to our own notes.
Your own document. Okay, I think you did it to some extent. Mr. Dupuy, maybe just highlight some of the amendments.
I will do so, Madam Chair. I will go back to the working document that was submitted to the committee, because the C list is a carbon copy, where necessary, of the working document. I could possibly just share the working document for the committee, and that will put the whole proposed amendments in perspective for the committee. Madam Chair, with regard to Clause 7 of the bill, it deals with the jurisdiction of the court, and it is just to clarify that there is no concurrent jurisdiction between the court and the magistrate's court. The remaining proposed amendments are quite straightforward. If I can take you to Clause 17 then, and you will find that there is a trend, Madam Chair, that these proposed amendments are, strictly speaking, more of a technical nature. To just show to you in Clause 17 then, we are merely including those words as a matter of clarity or correctness. Then in Clause 24, a similar issue there, Madam Chair, that was a proposal by the judges of the Land Claims Court indicating to us that the wording sufficiently connected to a matter relating to the powers of the court, that those are technically more correct, and the department agreed with that proposal on Clause 26, Madam Chair, merely a correction of a unnecessary word, deleting that word, just running through the clause, and then just a proposed insertion as a matter of clarity for the committee. In other words, sorry, for in respect of the Act itself, Clause 32 is our following or our next consequential amendment. And those deals, the provision as it is at this stage, and this is a provision that was approved by the National Assembly. However, unfortunately, in our B version of the bill, the printer's devil caught up with us. So the provisions in Clause 34 will merely become part of Clause 31, which deals with appeals against the judgments or orders of the court. And then we have done the substantive amendment where a new clause is then inserted, dealing with the appeals against judgments or orders of other courts. And then the rest, Madam Chair, if you may allow me, if you may allow me to say so, is to it's merely technical. There's nothing really that needs to be noted in this regard. Madam Chair, that brings me to the end then of providing context to the committee. Thank you, Chair.
No, thank you very much, Mr. Dupree. I think it was more to remind members what the technical or consequential amendments are, because we have been through this process in the last meeting. So I think that's what Honourable Mkhetwa really wanted. I think that being said, Honourable Members, once again, let me put to you the technical or consequential amendments to Clause 7, Clause 17, Clause 24, Clause 26, Clause 32, Clause 35 to 37, as well as to Part 2, Part 3, and the long title. If there are any objections from Honourable Members? Okay, if there are none, Honourable Members, then I think we'll then, allow me then, all members, to table the bill with the proposed amendment to these various clauses for adoption. If there is a member that would move for the adoption of the bill, the Land Court bill, with these proposed amendments, if you can give me an indication. Honourable Mkhetwa?
Yes, Chair. Thanks for reminding us about the clauses. And I moved here for adoption, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Bartlett. Are there any objections and or abstentions? There have been no objections in the proceeding, but just for the purposes of record, okay, if there are no objections and or abstentions, then only the bill is approved with the proposed is adopted, sorry, with the proposed amendments as a committee. And all members, given that we have no objections to this bill, if you would, for the sake of expediency, allow me also then to table the committee report so that we can then have it ADC, then try to speed up that process and that the bill then goes back to the National Assembly. If members don't have any objections to that, Honourable Members, allow me then to table the report. Okay, the bill was in essence referred to us on the 27th of September, and the report that we've agreed to the bill with proposed amendments. In terms of the report, the background gives the background to the bill. Commissioner, I think we can. Remember that I know that we did send you the report as well. So, yeah. But anyway, the public participation process, Vision, if you can go down, that it was advertised from the 17th of October to the 11th of November on electronic platforms as well as in newspapers. In terms of the submissions we received, there were 13 in number from the various organizations and stakeholders that are reflected in the document. And in terms of the overview of the key issues that were raised in the submissions, that is listed as well. If we can then move to the next item, Gershon. And then just in terms of our consideration, members will recall that we received a briefing on the BOA on the 12th of October, which the BOA advertised, and on the 15th we received a further briefing from the department on the written submissions. And the department's response to the said submissions. On the 22nd of March, we received a briefing by Parliamentary Legal Advisor on the tagging of the land court ball. On the 3rd of May, we were briefed on the proposed amendments to the land court ball. And today, we considered the proposed amendments and adopted the amendments clause by clause. The statement indicates that we've agreed to the adoption of the bill with proposed amendments, and the amendments will be attached in Annexure A. In terms of consensus of the bill, the chair put the bill for consideration, a member supported the bill, there were no objections or abstentions. This is just a good session, we'll just remove what is not relevant here. And then in terms of our recommendation to the House, we indicate that we've considered the bill referred to us and that we recommend that the council pass the bill with proposed amendments. That, honourable members, is our report. If there are any additions that members would like to make to the report, please give me an indication if you would want to make any additions. Honourable Tekla, I know your hand is up. It's been up since the previous agenda item. I want to assume it's in. Yeah, okay. Remember, if there are no additions that members would like to make to the report and or corrections, if members would want to then adopt the report, you could please give me an indication if you would want to do that. Is there any mover for the adoption of the report? Anwar Maleka.
Thank you, Chairperson. I move for the adoption of the report.
Thank you very much, Anwar Maleka. Is there any second there? Any second to the adoption of the report?
I second that, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mosamai. Are there any objections to the report? Abstentions? Okay. Okay, if none, thank you, honorable members. I think the report is also duly adopted. Let me take this opportunity to thank the department, the parliamentary legal advisor, the state law advisor, I think the public and members for their work on this bill, and for the committee to come to a point where changes have been made to the bill. And I think we have taken into account the submissions made by the public. I think, on members, we should be pleased that this bill will establish a new land court, and this will go a long way in ensuring easier access to justice for those who have land claims, and that this court will ensure a more expedient process for land claimants. Thank you very much, on members. Thank you to the department and the team, the DM and your team, and I think we could even release you for now. But DM, you want to say something? I see your camera.
I just wanted to say thanks very much, Chair, and to the committee for processing and considering the bill expeditiously. So thanks very much for that. And hopefully it's a bill that everybody will support in the NCOP.
And thank you very much.
Can we be excused? Yeah.
Yeah, no, no, DM, you and your team excuse. Well, members, we'll then move on to the next agenda item, which is the adoption of the reports. The first report is with regard to the budget and APP with regard to the Department of Police. The report is dated the 17th of May, 2023. Honourable members would have received copies of the report. I'm going to assume, honourable members, that you've been through it, and I would propose that we then deal with the report in terms of our observations and or our recommendations. Christian, I think you'll probably have to assist me. I need to just find the document as well. Okay, honourable members, just in terms of our engagement with the department on their budget and APP, members will recall that there were various issues that we engaged the department on. I would not necessarily go into what the issues or the content of it, but rather just highlight which were the areas that we raised with the department and to which they responded. The one was with regard to resources allocated to provinces, the destruction of infrastructure and metal theft, digitization of certificates, affidavits and registration of cases, new recruits and the issue of pay progression, the conditions of police stations that are being prioritized and anti-gang units, specifically in KZN, the issues around fruitless and wasteful expenditure, matters related to police work, police vehicles not in good working order, the clarity around the imbeciles that have been held by the department, around the DNA database backlog, the 10111 project, matters relating to border security, as well as the safety of police officers, officials, issues relating to the storage facility of files, the granting of bail for serious offences, and that police stations that close early and have no generators, that matter arose as well. The issue around resources and capacity insufficient for police to tackle crime. There was issues specific to the Northwest province and corruption cases, as well as gangsterism in Klerksdorp. We also dealt with matters relating to anti-money laundering and counter-terrorism, stock theft in the Northwest as well. The matter also raised around the television show dealing with drugs and organized crime. The issue around communities assisting more to assisting police with the solving of crime is a matter related to the CPS. And then the issue around the DPCI capacity investigation into state capture and grey listing that came up in the meeting as well. The customer satisfaction surveys that the department is undertaking, the department's use of retired personnel also came up as an issue. Those members were actually the matters that we engaged the department on. But then just in terms of our recommendation, we recommend that the department ensure that its priorities addressing infrastructural challenges in respect of ensuring that police stations are fully functional. The department should, within 30 days of adoption of the report by the committee, send a list of police stations that are state-owned and those that fall under the Department of Public Works in respect of infrastructure. The department should actively conduct research and look at mechanisms to implement digitization of the certification of documents and affidavits, and further research the possibility of implementing the digitization of case files in order to ensure that police are focused on crime prevention. The department should ensure, perhaps the word on that last line, I think the issue was that the police would have more time to focus on crime prevention. Perhaps they should correct that vision, but anyway, the department should ensure that it implements initiatives to urgently address gangsterism in the Northwest Province and KwaZulu-Natal. The department should prioritize the anti-gang units in these provinces specifically to ensure the safety of communities. The DPCI should ensure that it focuses its capacity on investigations pertaining to state capture, corruption, and anti-money laundering, and provide the committee with updated reports on a quarterly basis of progress on these matters. The department should ensure more community involvement in the fight against crime and focus on the training of new recruits in order to increase capacity on the ground in crime prevention initiatives. In this regard, the department should ensure that all CPF structures are functional and operational in all provinces. The department should ensure the safety of police officials by ensuring that the necessary steps are undertaken to secure all police stations. The department should ensure that police stations have CCTV cameras and that police officials are issued with bulletproof vests. The department should ensure that it improves the perception of police on the ground and that communities feel safe when reporting crimes at police stations. In this regard, the department should ensure that adequate training is provided to police officials to ensure better communication to victims of crime. The department should focus on improving staff morale within the department, as the improved morale of staff will significantly improve the perception of the community of the police. The department should speed up its recovery plan to address backlogs in DNA testing, particularly as it relates to gender-based GBVF cases. And the department should utilize retired police officials to ensure that there is a good basis for the transfer of important skills within the department, particularly to strengthen the training of new recruits. And in terms of our conclusion, we encourage the department to find innovative ways to ensure that the important services which it delivers is not compromised significantly due to the budget cuts, and that the department is encouraged to continue working towards ensuring the safety of communities and working towards improving the perception of the police. That in essence is the report. I'll open it up to honourable members if you have any additions and or corrections and or comments you would want to make with regard to this report. If you can give me an indication. Okay, if members are happy with the report, then perhaps if members would want to then adopt the report, if I can get a mover for the adoption.
I move for adoption, Honorable Chairperson. Sorry, yeah, I was load sharing, that's why I was off.
Okay. Thank you, Honorable Bartlett. Any seconders?
Chairperson?
Honorable Maleka?
Yes, I second.
Thank you very much, Honorable.
Okay.
Okay, no, thank you very much. And are there any objections to the report and abstentions to the adoption of the report? Okay, if none, then honourable members, the report is duly adopted. We'll then move on to the next report, which is with regard to the question. Is it I put up the series, please? Okay, the Independent Police Investigative Directorate Budget and APP. Once again, honourable members, I'll go again to the section that deals with our engagement with the directorate or the department and the directorate. I think with regard to to the issues that members raised. Just try to get to that page. 6.5 of the report. Just members, in terms of our engagement with the IPIS and the department, what was raised by members in the discussion was with regard to IPIS footprint in provinces, the ICT plan, the issue related to the underspending of budgets by IPIS, and I think included in that discussion was also increased budget to the IPIS. The issue of gender-based violence intervention. We also raised issues with regard to the new indicator in respect to solid inspection. And then we also looked at targets for indicators under Program 4, which we wanted more clarity on from the department. Then the other issue was in regard to, that raised was with regard to Mkondo, which the department will come back to the committee on the content of that case. The other issue was with regard to the decentralization of IPIS offices, the IPIS budget issue, emphasis on that. The issue of IPIS is a Chapter 9 institution, material losses due to criminal conduct, the strictest and wasteful expenditure. The issue around staff morale within the IPIS, the issue around case backlogs, the case management system, the allocation of provincial budgets, the MOU with the NPA, in terms of investigations. And then, on members, just in terms of our recommendations, we think that the directorate should be an independent institution whose resources and capacity should be increased to ensure that they are able to effectively execute their mandates in all provinces. The department must engage National Treasury to increase their budget in order for the department to employ sufficient investigators with the necessary skills to conduct proper investigations in all provinces. The department should make every effort to improve and increase its footprint in all provinces and regions to reach as many communities as possible. And the department should share its expansion strategy with the committee. The department should, within 90 days of adoption of this report, send a detailed response to the committee in respect of progress made on the Mkondo case is raised. The department should ensure that the proper systems are put in place to eradicate the case backlogs and to implement the necessary case management system to improve overall efficiency within the department. The department should continue with regular provincial engagements with SAP, CSPS, and the NPA to ensure compliance with its recommendations and to find mechanisms to ensure that the majority of its cases are prosecuted and disciplinary measures are being implemented. The department should continue to work towards improving staff morale by understanding the needs and frustrations of its employees and find solutions to addressing these challenges to ensure that employees are able to effectively carry out their job responsibilities. The department should focus on improving the quality of its investigations and work hard towards achieving the targets set for the implementation of the gender-based violence strategy. The department should prioritize the filling of vacancies of investigators across all provinces to increase the investigative capacity within the department. Members, those are largely the recommendations that we are making. If there are any additions and or corrections that members would want to make to the report, if members would like to adopt the report, can I get a move for the adoption of the report?
I move on.
Thank you. Any seconder?
I move on the adoption of the report, Chairperson.
Yeah, on the budget, we heard you. You move on members on the budget, just move for the adoption. Is there any seconder? Honourable Maleka, Honorable Dabo, yes?
Yes. I second.
Thank you very much, Honorable Dr. Dabo. Are there any objections and or abstentions? Okay, if none, thank you, Honorable Members. The report is duly adopted. Let us then move on to the final report, Honorable Members, with regard to the Civilian Secretariat for Police Service Budget and APP. Once again, Honorable Members, we'll follow the same process and just go straight to the discussion points. And the responses, around which we received responses by the minister and the department. The one with regard to surveys on service delivery. The other with regard to the large number of CPFs that still need to be assessed by the CSPS. The court watch program of the CSPS, the monitoring of IPED recommendations by the CSPS. The challenges in impending CSPS ability to fulfill statutory obligations, the launch of brigades in Gauteng, the support to CPFs, I think that matter also came up quite strongly, the domestic violence act compliance of police stations. Members will recall this is a continuous matter that we engage the CSPS on. The level of coordination between national and provincial CSPS. That all members were mostly the points around discussion with regard to recommendations. We're saying that the department should ensure that range of ways to fulfill its functions and mandate and work towards achieving the target in its annual performance plan. The department together with SAS should focus all of its resources and efforts on ensuring that CPFs have all the necessary resources, including tools of trade, uniforms, and stipends to assist in their fight against crime. The department should continue to strengthen its efforts to monitor the implementation of the Domestic Violence Act at police stations, particularly in rural police stations. The department should ensure that all police officials are treating victims of domestic violence with dignity and integrity. The department should conduct research and develop a plan to roll out the brigades in all provinces to ensure a more holistic approach to the fight against crime. The department should ensure that capacity is increased and improved within the legislative unit to ensure that there are no further delays in the drafting of legislation. The department should work tirelessly to ensure that all police stations are compliant in respect of the domestic violence legislation and that all police stations have the necessary facilities, capacity, training, and resources to effectively address GBV. The department should continue working efficiently to ensure that there are good working relationships between the provinces and the national office so as to avoid any duplication of work. And the department should continue to strengthen its efforts to monitor the implementation of the IPED recommendations. I think there's a typo there, if I'm not mistaken. That, members, is largely the report of the committee. If there are any additions and or corrections you would like to make and or comments, if not, then, and you're happy with the report, if there's then a mover, any member that would like to move for the adoption of the report. Our members, anyone would like to move for the adoption? Honorable Maleka? Honorable Maleka?
Thank you, Chairperson. I move for the adoption of the report.
Okay. Thanks, Honorable Maleka. Any seconder?
Okay, I'll second the report.
Okay. Honorable Varnos, your hand was up, but I just saw the two mics going on at the same time. Are there any objections and abstentions? Okay, if none, then thank you very much. Members, the report is duly adopted. That being said, all members, we've come to the end of our meeting. Thank you very much for your attendance and participation and let me declare this meeting closed for today. Thank you very much, honorable members.
Thanks, Chairperson. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you.